Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 51. The next day, John again was standing with two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here's the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speaking and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Let's pray. Lord, may the Spirit open our ears and our lives to your word, that we may truly say, "Lord, speak, for your servants are listening." Amen. So last week, we were at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, as Mark tells it in his gospel account. And we'll be back in Mark in the next coming weeks. But this week, we are here at the beginning of Jesus' ministry as John is telling it in his account. The first disciples are beginning to follow Jesus, and this begins with John the Baptist, a different John than the John who's writing this gospel. But John the Baptist pointing at Jesus and saying, "Look, behold, here is the Lamb of God." And so two of John's disciples, Andrew and his friend, they immediately leave John and just start to follow Jesus. And then at some point in this journey of following Jesus, we don't know exactly how long, but at some point they're following Jesus, and I don't know if Jesus was suddenly feeling like he was being stalked or what, but Jesus at one point, he turns to them and says, "What are you looking for?" Here in John's gospel account, those are the first words that Jesus says to anyone. His first words are a question to these two former disciples of John, I think, a question to us as well. What are you looking for? What are you looking for? You're looking for something. So what is it? Jesus asks. What a great question. Not just a great opening question, but a great opening question. The kind of question that can open you right up, asking you to go down deep to see what's there. What are you looking for? What is it that we're looking for that leads us to go and follow after, well, whatever it is that we follow after, right? What is it that we're looking for that leads us to follow after certain relationships, certain politicians or other leaders, that leads us to follow after theories about any number of things? What is it that we are really looking for in all of that? What are we looking for when we are going after and following after certain levels of education or jobs? What are we looking for in those? Even things like following favorite sports teams, right? What is it that we are looking for? We all leave some things in order to follow after other things. So what is it that we're looking for? What we're after, what we're looking for, it might be bad or unhealthy, it might be misdirected, it might even be something very, very good, but all of us have those things that we are desperately looking for and following after. What are they? That is not just the first question that Jesus asks here in John's gospel account. This is the very first thing that comes out of his mouth. His opening statement is a question to open us up. What are you looking for? So Jesus asks these early, soon-to-be disciples, what are you looking for? And they answer, teacher, rabbi, where are you staying? Where are you abiding? Where are you making your home? Now, maybe that question that Jesus asks there right off the bat, maybe it's too opening, too revealing to them or for them for that moment. So maybe they're deflecting a little by asking a question in response. Or maybe somehow they instinctively know that what they're looking for is simply for the place where Jesus is. But regardless, Jesus responds to them simply by saying, come and see. Come and see. And so they do. And with Philip, just a little bit later, Jesus sees Philip and goes to him and says, Philip, follow me. And Philip does. Come and see. Follow me. Now, real simple, this is what it's about, friends. Not knowing all the answers or having it all together, but rather hearing that invitation to come and see. Hearing Jesus simply say, follow me. Now, later, these same disciples, they will end up discovering and proclaiming and bearing witness to all these amazing things about who Jesus is and what he was about and what he said and did. But that only comes in the midst of and out of following Jesus, going and seeing. They come as a result of these interactions and these growing relationships that they have with Jesus. Even here in this passage, Andrew and his friend, they'd already begun to follow and watch him a bit before they call him rabbi, following from a distance, but still. And Andrew calls him Messiah only after he'd spent at least some time with him. Philip says Jesus is the one who fulfills Scripture, but only after he's been following Jesus for a bit. Nathanael does end up calling him Son of God and the King of Israel, but only after he has this interaction with Jesus. All of this comes out of that great opening question, what are you looking for? And then that invitation from Jesus, come and see. Jesus begins here with his very first words are a question, and his very next words, come and see. Well, he begins with a question and then an invitation. Or even, yes, that is an invitation to come and see, but maybe it's also a promise as well. His first words, a question that he asks of them, and then his next words are a promise he makes to them. Maybe because he knows all of us that we're all looking for that something, but he also knows that we're not always so sure what it is we're supposed to be looking for. Sometimes we're confused about what it should be. Sometimes we just don't even know. What are you looking for? Jesus asks. And then maybe for those of us who aren't exactly sure what we're looking for, or for those of us who might be looking for the wrong things or confused about what we're looking for, maybe that invitation, come and see, maybe it's also a promise. What are you looking for? Well, why don't you just come and see? Come and see what it is that deep down you are really looking for. When you go running after all these things, this is how it begins, with a question that Jesus asks and an invitation into a promise that he gives us. This is how the gospel writer John opens his telling of Jesus' public ministry and the calling together and building up of his disciples, those that would be the beginning of this community that eventually gets called the church. This community that is called and formed to proclaim the good news and embody the kingdom that has drawn near in Jesus Christ. John, the gospel writer, the one who, if you remember, who opens back at the very beginning of chapter 1, he opens with all these grand, deep theological ideas about the Word that was with God and the Word, and at the same time, the Word that was God that became flesh, who is light and life, full of grace and truth, through whom we receive grace upon grace, and who makes God known to us. John, the gospel writer, the one who begins his gospel with all these very deep, profound, hard to wrap your head around concepts about the nature of God and Jesus. Isn't it amazing that with all of that there in the background, when John gets to talking about what that looks like as it begins to play out in history and in life, when all of that from the beginning of John shows up in this person, Jesus, for these first disciples, it is simply about a question and an invitation into a promise. And so for all his soaring poetry and theology, John also seems to know that it's only in the context of this question, what is it that you're looking for? And it's only in the context of this invitation and this promise to come and see. It's only here that we can ever begin to understand the depth and the riches of who Jesus is and who we are in him. Andrew goes to his brother Simon, and he says, "We found the Messiah." And then he brings Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looks at Simon and says, "You are Simon, but you are to be called Cephas," or Peter. Now, Cephas and Peter, both of those mean rock. Andrew introduces his brother Simon to Jesus. Jesus looks at Simon and says, "All right, you're Simon now, but I'm calling you Rocky." He gives him a nickname, Rocky. But if you know anything about Peter over the next few years, as he follows Jesus, he is anything but a rock. He does not live up to his name. He is rash, and he is rambunctious. He is impetuous, and he is impulsive. And he gets so many things so profoundly wrong. He is certainly much more like the shifting sands than a rock. And so sandy, maybe. But rocky? I don't know about that. But Jesus looks at him and says, you are going to be a rock. And so even now, I am calling you Rocky. Not because that's who you are now, but that's because when you hang out with me, when you come and see, when you follow me long enough, that's who you are going to become. Come and see. And then finally, here in this opening scene, there's Nathanael. Nathanael here might be one of my favorites. I love Peter throughout, but right here, Nathanael might be my favorite. He is a doubter. He is a cynic. He is pretty quick with the insults, or at least with the sarcasm. Philip comes to him and says, we found the one that all of Scripture points to. It's this guy, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, psh, can anything good come from Nazareth? Nazareth was a small, nothing, maybe even wrong side of the tracks kind of town. Can anything good, Nathanael says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good come from those people? Can anything good come from that place across town or across the border, from that part of the world? Can anything good come from that neighborhood? Can anything good come from that side of the political aisle? Can anything good come from that type of family? Can anything good come from my family? From my history? From that mess I seem to keep making deeper and deeper? Can anything good come from this past year? From the revealing and unveiling that we've seen taking place in so many places and times this past year? Can anything good possibly come from there? Philip says, the one that all of Scripture and history has been pointing and driving to, it's among us, and it's Jesus, the son of Joseph of Nazareth. And Nathanael says, seriously, can anything good come from there? And Philip simply answers, come and see. Come and see. Philip just echoes Jesus. Philip just echoes the promise that he himself has been invited into, the promise that when Jesus is here, we may yet see even greater things. You know, it strikes me that if we really want people to follow Jesus, what this world needs, what the church needs, what we need is simply more people echoing Jesus and knowing where it is that he is abiding, where he is making his home. It's inviting one another to just come and see, to come and see all the things of God's kingdom that are showing up in this person, Jesus. Inviting one another to come and see this one who has come to bind up the brokenhearted and stand with the least of these, who came to scatter the proud and bring down the powerful from their thrones, who came to fill the hungry with good things and send the rich away empty, who came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, who came to let the oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, who came to wash feet, feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, visit the sick and the imprisoned, care for the least of these, and show the glory of God in all his grace and truth, and from his fullness pour out grace upon grace. To come and see the one who shows us that the love of God and our true hope always come shaped like a cross. Who came to be clear about which kingdom we are to belong to. And who came to show where salvation and redemption is truly found. Not just for our souls, but for all that God has created and called good. Friends, what are we looking for? Because this here is where Jesus abides. This here is where he makes his home. And so dare we, family, dare we come and see. And then echo this very invitation and promise to one another, to our communities, to our nation, and to the world. What are you looking for? What is it that we are looking for? Where is Jesus inviting us even here and even now to turn and look, to follow him, to see where it is that he is making his home? Jesus begins with this question to all of us. He opens with an opening question of us. And he follows it with an invitation into a promise for us. A promise of where he will be. What is it that you are looking for? What are we looking for? Let us come and see. And then we might yet see far greater things. Perhaps even the places where the presence of Jesus opens it all up and the things of heaven touch the earth. What are we looking for? Family, let us come and see. For Jesus is the one whose very life asks questions of us and our lives, and he is the one whose very life invites us into the promise of looking in the right places for the right things. What are you looking for? Where is Jesus staying? Family, let us come and see. Amen.